Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760 at 22 minutes after 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning, broadcasting live from Ponte Vedra Beach. And I promised you Hall of Famers during the show, and we're going to be joined right now by the first one, the architect of this venue and many others, Pete Dye, who, of course, is a Delray Beach resident. We've had Pete on the show a number of times. Always love talking to Pete. And word came down earlier this week that Pete Dye will be enshrined into the World Golf Hall of Fame in November as part of the class of 2008. And he is joining us now. Pete, good morning to you. Congratulations on this great news.
Oh, thank you.
Well, Pete,
they went
we were
to the bottom of the barrel and got something. They found me. Yeah.
Well, always self-deprecating, of course, but you deserve this. I mean, you are one of the greatest at what you do in the history of golf, and you're only the fifth. There are four currently in the World Golf Hall of Fame. You are now the fifth golf course architect to be in the Hall of Fame, joining the likes of guys like Donald Ross and Alistair McKenzie. What does that mean to you, Pete?
Well, I'm pretty good company there, wouldn't you say? Huh?
I was
really amazed and really pleased, and I couldn't believe when Mr. Fincham called. Back when he called, I thought, well, certainly something's gone wrong with the golf course, but then he told me I couldn't believe it. It was really wonderful.
Pete, I know you're really thankful for the honor and look forward to going in there, but how much do you give your wife some credit for you know, what you've been able to accomplish? She's been right there by your side and has helped out a lot. I think she came up with the idea for 17 here at TPC. How much would you like to see your wife share in this award?
Well, she should be there 100%. That's not just share. It should be 100%. But a lot of the people have called in and said they got the wrong person in the Dye family. But Alice should get a lot of credit, no question about it.
World acclaimed golf course architect Pete Dye joining us here on the line. It was just announced earlier this week that he has been selected to the World Golf Hall of Fame in the Lifetime Achievement category. He will be inducted in November. And at the ripe old age of 82, Pete, I know you've got over 150 golf courses, and you will be joining the likes of Robert Trent Jones, C.B. McDonald, Alistair McKenzie, and Donald Ross as the only golf course architects in the World Golf Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's not, I don't want to say rags to riches because it's kind of cheesy, but you started your career as an insurance salesman, then you kind of turned into golf course architecture later in your life, and even the course that the Players are playing right now for the Players Championship, when it debuted in 1982, not everyone received it with wide open arms. Ben Crenshaw said it's Star Wars golf designed by Darth Vader, but over the years they've come to love it. Was it tough there at first when this course debuted?
Well, you know, you always hate it when everybody's mad at you. And they did the same at Harbortown, as a matter of fact. When we built Harbortown, they weren't too pleased with Harbortown. And then, of course, out at the stadium course out in Palm Springs at La Quinta, they were really upset. But here today, the one out in La Quinta is probably the most played golf course in the desert out there. But so I don't know why it takes a little while to come out of the woods, but I'm certainly glad it has.
Hey, Pete, we're talking about this course, but also a lot of the other courses you've done. Which one is the course you're most proud of? The one you feel like, hey, this really encompasses everything I wanted to get out of a course from an architecture standpoint. Which course are you most proud of in terms of accomplishing what your vision of it ultimately became?
Well, you know, you're never so about your kids. You're supposed to never say your one's better than the other, but when I built the one down in the Dominican Republic, there wasn't a paved road within 35 miles, and now they call it Teeth of Dog, and it's been world acclaimed, and today there's 50,000 people have jobs down there because of the start of that golf course. And of course, you kind of look like you've really done something economically and it helped the people, and they had the world amateur down there, and it's been very successful. And in that same area, for the same people, the owners, I'm building 9 more holes, and that'll be 90 holes in one area down in the Dominican Republic. So that's kind of unusual. I started down there. Alice and I went down there in 1968, and we've been going back and forth since then, and it's been a really fine resort. And now they built an airport right there, and there's two wide-body jets come in twice a week from Milan, Italy. So it's hard to believe an area that didn't even have a paved road within 35 miles, now there's what's happened down there.
Yeah, I remember, Pete, when we had you on the show last year, you were very proud of what you're achieving there in the Dominican Republic, especially the Casa de Campo course, and now almost 90 holes with this new nine that you're working on. I know you're also working on some courses in Indiana where you live part of the year, and I know you're in Indiana right now. In regards to this course, though, the TPC Sawgrass course, which is really was the first of its kind of set the blueprint for the TPC venues. I know there's a TPC course down in our neck of the woods in Coral Springs, Eagle Trace, where the Honda used to be held, that has, you know, the stadium type of features, the grass embankments and the grass almost seating that go up the hill in kind of a stepped fashion, and you have that here as well at Sawgrass. I had a chance to walk the course yesterday for the first time, and I noticed that, you know, this course is almost unlike any other in that it was designed with this tournament in mind versus a course being designed and then a tournament comes there. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, Dean Beeman had the vision there. He was trying to create a golf course that would hold time for the great players. And of course, you know, they've improved everything, the maintenance and the balls, the clubs and everything. But he was trying to build one that would stay in vogue for years. And he really, really wanted it so that from not only just the 18th hole or 17th hole, but all around the golf course, that we would have different vistas of the golf course so people could watch it and be playable. But when you walk the Tournament Players Club in Jacksonville and you look at the fairways and the greens, they're almost the same existing grade of the old ground. I mean, if you walk down the first hole, and you look at the tree line on the left, and you'll see that the butts of the stumps of the trees are higher than the fairway. So what we did, we lowered all the fairways, and the lake on 18 is about six feet below sea level. So the fairways, and it's really a flat golf course with a lot of mounds and bumps around it for people to walk on it and to see golf.
Pete, speaking about some of those changes, you know, very few, but some of them, is there anything else that can be done to this course, or do you think they've got it set now for the next 5-10 years?
Oh, well, there's still areas that they can add or subtract if they want to, and I'm sure, being in May, and they'll watch the weather very closely, and they'll probably want to make some changes. I noticed the wind was out of the west, which is, and maybe that's not the predominant win in the first week of May, but it makes the holes like 5 and 7 play differently than if the wind was out of the east. So I'm sure they'll come up with something.
World-renowned golf course architect Pete Dye joining us here on the line. Russ Evans, Pat Roney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic on ESPN Radio 760. Pete has designed over 150 golf courses over the world, most of those in the U.S., and he will be enshrined into the World Golf Hall of Fame in November, class of 2008, becoming only the fifth golf course architect ever to be in the World Golf Hall of Fame, joining guys like Trent Jones, McDonald, McKenzie, and Ross. Pete, just a couple of quickies for you before we let you go. First of all, you've done a couple of collaborations with some very high-profile guys like Jack Nicklaus and Greg Norman. The Medalist Golf Club in Hobe Sound was a collaboration with Greg Norman. Harbortown Golf Links was a collaboration with Jack Nicklaus. What kind of differences are there to designing a course when you're collaborating with a world-class player versus when you have your own project and you're the boss?
Well, you know, actually, in every golf course you build, you try to get the input from anybody who will talk to you. And, of course, Alice has had a great influence on different golf courses I've built. So I'm always used to working with somebody. Then when I built the golf courses out in the desert, the owners of the golf course were two golf professionals, Ernie Vossler and Joe, you always try to get the input from other people. And I remember years ago when I built the golf club in Columbus, Ohio, that's Jack's backyard, and everybody's forgotten. I've known Jack since he was 12. I knew his father, and Jack had just won the Open, and he used to come out and talk to us. We used to talk about the different philosophies of the game of golf. So I continuously talked with everybody, and when I built the Medalist with Greg Norman, he was you know, you spent more of your time trying to tell him what I was doing rather than him telling me what to do. You spend more time doing that because the way we drain the golf course, et cetera, et cetera. But they always say, well, why are you going this way? And it's easy to work with a good player like Jack or Greg because they're looking at a golf course and they got so many different aspects and different ideas and theories. And then you talk them through that you can do this or you can't do it because of the topography of the ground or the drainage or the environment. You're in the process of spending more time trying to convey to them the problems you have in building a golf course.
Pete, I'm sure you're asked this a lot, and we probably even asked you this maybe the last time you were on here, but, it's sort of well documented that you really got interested in golf course architecture on a trip to Scotland in the early 60s, I believe, and looked at some things and how they did design over there and thought you could bring some of that over here. Was there a specific architect in Scotland or a type of design that really appealed to you? And if so, who's been your sort of your major influence in how you've done your golf courses? Or do you just kind of take bits and pieces of various things and then incorporate them into your designs?
Well, you know, when you go to Scotland or Ireland, you find out there's nothing new in the design or in golf. And, of course, all the golf courses over there were built on sand and on great pieces of the ground. And so you see all those. I don't remember the designers. Of course, a lot of them are just there. But when the golf courses were built in the United States, like on Long Island and where they had sand, and in the Philadelphia and the Pine Valley area, they had sand. So the old designers like Seth Rayner, I always admire Seth Rayner very much, but they were given such great pieces of ground to build golf courses on in the United States. And then after the war, you more or less started getting just ordinary pieces of ground to nowadays that you find ground that nobody wants to build anything on. So they say, all right, you have to create a golf course. So what happened after the war, instead of going out and finding a great piece of ground because nobody wanted to give you the best piece of ground, you had to start creating a golf course. And I remember Mr. Jones, after the war, there was a great need for golf courses throughout the United States. He made a formula so how they could get it built on different ordinary pieces of ground. So the golf design changed after the war quite a bit because people, World War II, that is, because you had to start manufacturing a golf course. So what I did when I was in Scotland, all I did was I came back, I saw a lot of Mr. Jones's courses and admired what he'd been doing, but I tried to create different pieces of equipment that you could do smaller undulations with a different. You had to use equipment. You couldn't do by hand or mule and scoop. You had to do it by some kind of equipment. So I kind of improvised different small dozers to do that. And that was more of a change. And I don't know why it was a change, but that was when I started, because I had great admiration for Mr. Jones, but I figured the only way to get any identity was to try to change that way of building a golf course, the way to build it.
He is world-renowned golf course architect Pete Dye, just announced Tuesday this week, just announced about 5 days ago right here in Ponte Vedra Beach. Pete, you were in Ponte Vedra earlier this week. It was announced that you will be in the World Golf Hall of Fame class of 2008, joining Robert Trent Jones, C. Bing McDonald, Alistair McKenzie, and Donald Ross, just the fifth person enshrined for his work as a course architect. And Pete, this is how influential you are. This is a great clue of how influential you have been in your career. The two biggest tournaments this week in professional golf are both being played on courses you designed. This week, the PGA Tour is here at TPC Sawgrass for the 35th anniversary Players Championship, and the LPGA Tour is in Williamsburg, Virginia at the Michelob Ultra Kings Mill River Course, both courses that you designed. The list is a laundry list of greats. TPC Sawgrass, TPC at Lake Nona, Loblolly Pines in Hope Sound. Pat, I know that's one of your favorite tracks. The Medalist, the Dye Preserve Club in Jupiter, Old Marsh Country Club in Palm Beach Gardens. A lot of courses right down in our neck of the woods, Pete, and I know you're there most of the year in Delray. Palm Beach Polo, PGA Golf Club in Port St. Lucie, TPC River Highlands, TPC Louisiana, Bully Rock, Harbortown, Kiowa Island, where they played. Oh, they just played a Ryder Cup there a couple years ago. That's all they did there. Pete, it's been a phenomenal career, and you're still going at 82. We are big fans of yours, both of us are, and we're so happy to see this news come down that you'll be joining the World Golf Hall of Fame in November. Congratulations. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great Mother's Day. Make sure you take care of Alice.
I will. Okay. Thanks a lot. Right.
Take care, Pete. There he is, Pete Dye, joining us here on the show. Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic.